From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Reaction to President Trump's speech, national and international. Reaction to President Trump's speech on Tuesday night has generally been very positive, especially as one might expect from various of his supporters.
Really overwhelmingly positive. It was a fantastic speech. But you know what? I didn't expect anything less. I really didn't.
When he spoke about the economy, when he spoke about jobs, when he spoke about Harley Davidson, I had my biker hat on, Bikers for Trump, because I like to ride once in a while, go out west, and I just thought it was pretty cool that, you know, let's make America great again.
Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer might beg to differ, appearing today on the Good Morning America TV program.
His speeches are always totally detached from reality. He talks to the working folks of America. They were his main constituency. But the way he's governed has been totally with the hard right special interests against the working people.
World leaders have been digesting the speech. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Donald Trump's speech may have been directed at a domestic audience. The president repeatedly pledged to put America first, but this was a performance watched around the world.
It is American leadership based on vital security interests that we share with our allies all across the globe. We strongly support NATO.
The warmer tone has been welcomed, says Ian Bond of the London-based Centre for European Reform.
He didn't repeat the suggestion that it was obsolete, and he did stress the importance of NATO.
But analysts say many world leaders want more policy detail on President Trump's promise of a new chapter of American greatness. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This is VOA News. Afghan officials say a group of heavily armed Taliban suicide bombers have assaulted a district police headquarters in western Kabul, sparking a fierce gun battle with security forces. The coordinated insurgent raid, which began with a suicide car bombing at the entrance of the facility, has left several people dead and dozens wounded. A Taliban spokesman took credit for the violence, saying the group's fighters inflicted heavy casualties on Afghan forces. The insurgent group often provides an inflated casualty toll to the media. Malaysia charged two women with murder Wednesday in connection with the death of Kim Jong-nam, the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. An Indonesian and Vietnamese national said that they are innocent and believe that they were taking part in a prank for a TV show. They each face the death penalty if convicted. In the meantime, Malaysian Health Minister Subramaniam Sathasivam said Wednesday they won't be releasing Kim Jong-nam's body until it is positively identified.
We have a body of one person who has got a North Korean passport with the name of what? Kim Choi, is it? Kim Choi. The whole world says this is Kim Jong-nam. So for us to say this is not Kim Choi, but this is Kim Jong-nam, we must have evidence. And that evidence can only be got by the DNA profiling of the relatives and all that.
The Malaysian health minister said the protocol is to release Kim's body to the next of kin once identification is completed. Ongoing conflict in Unity State in South Sudan has forced the evacuation of 28 aid workers from one of the two counties hit by famine. Insecurity is hampering aid efforts throughout the country, prompting the United Nations to call for immediate, safe, and unhindered humanitarian access. From Nairobi, Jill Craig has more.
Last week, the United Nations and the South Sudan government declared Mayandit and Leer counties of Unity State famine-stricken. Over the weekend, insecurity forced 28 humanitarian workers to relocate from Mayandit. Gemma Connell is the deputy head of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in South Sudan.
So this is basically an indication of just how volatile these areas continue to be. Thankfully, this incident that took place this past week that caused the relocation was a minor incident, but it highlights how fragile the situation is and the types of challenges that we face on a week-to-week basis.
Roughly half of South Sudan's population is projected to be severely food insecure by July. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
The Mayandit aid workers were doing emergency nutrition screening in response and registering communities for food distribution. Joe Palca, reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.